Hello, and welcome to the Security Podcast, where we sit down with security leaders to talk all aspects of security from leadership to risk management and much more. I'm Maria, Associate Editor at Security Magazine. Today, we sit down with Ev Consovoy, CEO and co-founder of Teleport, an open source tool that provides zero trust access to servers and cloud applications. Welcome, Ev.
Well, good afternoon, Maria. Thank you for having me.
Of course. Ev, can you tell us a little bit about yourself?
Sure. So I'm an engineer by training and built my career building cloud applications and primarily actually building tools for other engineers. So that is my passion. I've done a lot of work with cloud technologies at Rackspace, which at the time was second biggest cloud provider. So I saw firsthand what kind of problems most organizations run into on security and compliance side as they scale while I was there. And that's why we started this company.
With the integration to the cloud and corresponding rise of innovative cyber attacks, attackers are turning machines against each other, leaving supply chains vulnerable. Can you tell us about why supply chains are increasingly vulnerable, in your opinion?
So it's this comes back to this notion of having a surface area for an attack. Because when attackers are trying to get into your infrastructure, they're looking for an error, a mistake that they need to exploit. And on one hand of that surface area is people, engineers who work at a certain company. This is why we have marketplaces for credentials on the dark web, where attackers actually reaching out to engineers and asking them, hey, do you have credentials to get into Uber? Do you have credentials to get into, you know, Tesla or whatever? And so that side of the equation is well understood. And as you scale, notice that you're not growing people organization as quickly as your server fleet. That is really the answer to your question, because as organizations scale, you simply get more machines, you get more technology layers, you get more technology complexity on the infrastructure side. So, and as you get more of that, the probability of making a mistake goes up, and that is why hackers now increasingly targeting machines as opposed to trying to hack into someone's laptop. So it's a function of scale.
Okay, and why do current security approaches not work to protect the supply chain?
Well, I wouldn't be so kind of binary, like work or not work. So, because security itself is, it's not a binary switch. You're secure and then you're suddenly not secure. So everything exists on a spectrum. But I will say that if you look at how computing generally was done 5 years ago, 10 years ago, 15 years ago, you will obviously notice the trend towards increasing complexity, which means that there are more and more technologies being involved. So therefore, existing security solutions, they're just lagging in time. And I can use maybe one example to illustrate why that is the case. So let's say you have a database that holds data, and data is what you're protecting, because data is probably the target of an attack, either for ransomware or for data theft. It's always about data. Okay, so let's just say it's a MySQL database or Oracle or any kind of database. So just count how many different doors or methods of accessing that data exist today versus back in the day. So back in the day, like you basically had a machine with a database listening on a network. So you could get into that machine through maybe SSH, you could get into database using native Oracle. But if you look at the cloud environment today, so you have many more doors. So you have the same thing through SSH or through Linux operating system, then you could get into database directly. Then you can, if you're using Kubernetes, they will get through Kubernetes. If you're on AWS, the AWS API could be used to get in and do a snapshot of a volume. If there is a web interface that is used to manage database, hackers can go through that. And then you have a bunch of microservices, and each microservice is basically a user. And if that microservice is accessing database, then you can go and attack every single one. You see, like the population of robots, so to speak, that have access to the database has constantly been growing, and in the cloud is just easier to do. And that is, in our opinion, probably the, one of the biggest challenges right now is the siloing of access controls. So you have humans, then you have machines, and then when you have machines, you have applications, and then you have infrastructure automation, and this siloing going on and on and on. So if you ask yourself today, who or what can access this particular table in this particular database, most technology leaders would say, I don't really know.
Okay. And can you tell us about red flags in machine-to-machine communication?
Red flags in machine-to-machine communication. I would say that one of the more vulnerable or potentially vulnerable or a place where you need to be very careful with not making a mistake would probably be CI/CD automation. If you take something like Jenkins, for example, or equivalent technology, something that is acting on your behalf to push the latest version of your application into production. So that thing, whatever that is, it's basically a bag of secrets. It's a bag of credentials, because that component is responsible for deploying code, possibly doing database migrations, possibly triggering a bunch of other actions. So it becomes kind of an extremely vulnerable component in your architecture, which is exposed to all kinds of anti-patterns, for example, that exist in infrastructure deployment. Like, one of those anti-patterns is reliance on static credentials. As I said earlier, that every attack starts with exploiting of a human error, which means that you need to minimize probability of human error happening over time. And one of those, and number one source of human errors is dealing with any kind of secrets or credentials. Because if you have a secret that is static and it doesn't change over time, you can accidentally check that into your code base, or you can accidentally leave it in unencrypted configuration. And even if you encrypt it, that means there is decryption happening. And the moment then decryption is happening, you're vulnerable to, again, a human mistake. And these CI/CD pipelines, these tools like Jenkins, they oftentimes are peppered with infrastructure secrets simply because they're doing things on behalf of humans, right? So that, in our opinion, is probably low-hanging fruit for a lot of organizations to look into their CI/CD pipelines and migrate them to dynamically issued credentials. The way it works is, let's just use Jenkins again as an example. So you have instance of Jenkins running. And by default, if you pick a random point in time, it has access to nothing. So if someone breaks into Jenkins, they will not be able to do anything. But most importantly, too, like, they will not be able to break into it simply because there are no credentials. There is no access granted. So in order for you to do deployment, Jenkins needs to be issued dynamic credentials for whatever it needs to do. Then deployment ends, and then these credentials need to be revoked. So that is probably something that a lot of organizations can look into.
And how can securing machine-to-machine communication help keep supply chains safe?
So what I just described, that is one of the methods, because running deployments is definitely part of kind of software supply chain a process. But also, let's think about the second component of a successful attack. As I said, that every infiltration, every data breach, every successful attack consists of kind of two components. First, exploitation of a human error. It could be error in code. It could be error in behavior. Like some human did not do something properly. That is always the foundation of this is how attack begins. But then the interesting thing happens, that hackers try to pivot. So they've gotten into your infrastructure. They have access to some things, but not all of them. And they try to expand. They try to see how much damage we can cause. And in security circles, you probably have heard the term blast radius, how big the blast radius of that infiltration might be. So this pivot moment is really interesting, because let's just assume that human errors are inevitable. Sure, you need to reduce probability of that happening, but let's assume it happened to you. And you ended up with a microservice that is compromised. An attacker somehow managed to maybe put like a few malicious lines of code into an open source dependency, and maybe your supply chain security tool missed it. Like, whatever happened. So you have a compromised microservice running. So what we have seen is that a lot of organizations invest a lot of resources and pay attention to access granularity for their engineers. I'm talking about authorization, basically. Things like role-based access control, things like access requests, where certain people can only do certain things at certain point in time, and they feel very secure because they've made these investments. That's good. But they often don't provide the same treatment for applications. So let's just say you have 100 engineers in your organization, and they all kind of split across multiple teams and groups with different permissions and different policy and stuff like that. But they also have 100 microservices that are running on their infrastructure. But those microservices, they're users too. They also need to log in into databases. In fact, that's what they do. Microservices, just like any other code, they are components of your application, and the purpose of applications usually is to transform data. So naturally, you have code that's reading data, writing data, creating data, transforming data from different data sources. So you have all these microservices, and they acting as users. But organizations don't create the same access policy that assigns different privileges to different microservices. They oftentimes just create like a shared account, service account for all of their code, which means that if an attacker gets into one of your components of your application, they will oftentimes effectively they get full root. So pivoting and maximizing the blast radius becomes easy. So what we recommend is to, first of all, you need to consolidate your access policy for humans and machines. It needs to be in one place. So this allows you to set up a rule that simply states like the conditions when a certain data can be accessed. And then you assigning specific accounts you assign this privilege to specific accounts using exact same system, regardless either these accounts are humans or machines. So by having a single source of truth for policy allows you to actually know and reason about who or what has access to a specific table in a specific database at any moment in time. So consolidating policy is really important. And the second part of that same consolidation is if we all agreed that passwords, private keys, any kind of secrets that are just evil, you should not be using them. It means that your code needs to be receiving automatically expiring credentials. So when the microservice starts, by default, it has access to nothing. There are no secrets in the code. There are no API keys, no passwords, no nothing. So it needs to receive something like a certificate to access a specific database. And the permissions for this particular microservice and for that particular database need to be encoded in a certificate. Effectively, it means that you're taking this identity-based approach and you extending it to machines. That is maybe not such a low-hanging fruit as the earlier thing I mentioned, but that's basically what the industry is going towards, that every process, every microservice in your organization needs to have its own identity. This allows you to, I'm just repeating myself, just to conclude that by giving identity to every microservice, you're dramatically shrinking, you're reducing potential blast radius of an attack if it ever happens.
Okay. And lastly, why must security policies view machines in the same way they view humans, using identity-based access to prevent data breaches?
So it's basically everything I just talked about is already kind of like an answer to that question. But fundamentally, you must think about your risk profile, how it changes with time. And it is pretty much inevitable that the number of machine users that are doing something with your data over time will greatly exceed the engineering organization. In fact, there is like even the if you look at if you try to visualize it graphically, like you will look that the growth of an engineering organization is kind of a logarithmic function. So as you learn how to scale your access policy, as you learn how to scale security for humans in general, it will probably get easier in time as you get bigger, simply because, again, that's how logarithm looks like. But with machines, it's actually pretty much linear. Like the more traffic you get, the more data you process, and the complexity, again, is constantly increasing. So the longer you wait, the more siloed you become. So you will have different places where policy is set and enforced. You have one thing that like only covers all of your humans. Like our engineers are accessing infrastructure this way. But then you have a bunch of different software components, like pieces of automation. And the policy for them is scattered. And if you don't start try to consolidate it early, as you scale, it will get harder and harder. Because you will have a piece of automation that uses Kubernetes credentials to do something. Then you will have another thing that uses AWS credentials. Then you have something else that uses custom privately, like self-implemented proprietary API that has an API key that never gets rotated. It will only get worse. So start earlier, because not only it will reduce the probability of you getting in trouble in the future, but frankly, it just reduces complexity. And complexity, again, in turn, reduces probability of human error, which goes back to, again, improving security and your compliance, like implementing compliance becomes easier.
Well, thank you so much for joining us, Ev.
Not a problem. It was a lot of fun to be here. Thank you, Maria.
Thank you. And thank you for listening to The Security Podcast. Follow our podcast on Apple or Spotify, or listen directly from our site at securitymagazine.com. Don't forget to rate and review as well.